Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where in this 15-minute empowerment, we are encouraged as believers in our faith, in our walk, in our process to the place that God has purposed and destined us for. And as we are encouraged, as God's chosen people, we are the light and the life to someone else. We become that which they need by demonstrating and showing the love of Jesus Christ in our everyday life through everyday situations. And that is great because God will cause us to allow the anointing and the glory of who he is to be on us in such a way that we draw others by that shine. We're that city sitting on a hill. We are that light. We are that salt that other people are drawn to, and we don't lose our savor. We don't lose our taste. We have the taste to make them salty, to want God, to pant after God, to thirst after him. And we cause them to drink from the fountain and the river of life, which is through salvation in Jesus Christ. We're going to begin to talk about, as we did last week, the series that we are working on right now. And it is encouraging because the topic of it is unlikely, an unlikely place of blessings. And we're going from the book of Esther, and we're going to go further in this week about this place of an unlikely blessing. We spoke last week in just giving a brief synopsis of what we went over. Basically, being in an unlikely place, Esther was in a place, in a position, as well as Mordecai, that they would never think that they were going to get a blessing from God, a breakthrough from God, a promotion from God, or being used by God. But here they are in an unlikely place, and God yet blesses them in this unlikely place. God makes a way for them in this unlikely place. He shows them favor and kindness in this unlikely place. So it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what's going through in your life, when the time is and the season is for you to be blessed by God. There is no one, no enemy, there's no circumstance, no condition, no place that can stop the hand of God, because God can set you up for a blessing anywhere that you are. He is the blesser. He commands the blessing on his people. So when he's ready to bless you, nothing can stop it. Nothing can delay it. The enemy and time can't even stop this, because God has already ordained it, and it is to his divine will. Everything moves and operating according to his plan and his purpose. Everything that was made, good or bad, seen and unseen, known and unknown, material or immaterial, was made for and by God for his purpose, for his plan. So there's no one greater than God. Even the enemy was made, and God knows exactly how to allow the enemy to buffet us for a season. But when that season is up, he commands the blessing, as he did with Job. Job only had a season of temptation, and the blessing came. Jesus only had a season where he was tempted, and the blessing came to him with the angels ministering unto him, and then he began his ministry. So your season, it's going to happen when God says it is, and that time is there, but there is nothing in your season, there's nothing in that season that can stop God from moving, because wherever you at, if there's time for your blessing and your release, it will find you, it will overtake you, good success will be upon you. As we look at the book of Esther, just going over it just briefly, we see here that God chose Esther and to be a blessing not only to her family but to the nation. She was the key that God was going to use. And he used this key through a woman's rebellion and a king's pride, his haughty spirit, his vanity. That's how it happened. And the stage is set because God basically allows what is already brewing, already being set up to be what Esther rides on or comes in on to set up the blessing for her life. The king basically had a party for 120 days, show off his riches. He was very vain, very prideful, very haughty, and you can tell this because on the 120 days, he had all of his governors, his rulers there, and he showed them all the vastness of his kingdom, all of his riches, and he had only been king for 3 years. He had only been king for 3 years at this time. And when he finished with that party, he brings the people in his city, in Shushan, in there, whether they're high in rank or authority or power or low. He brought everyone in, and they drank out of goblets, and they saw all the beauty of his palace and everything that was in his palace, and he let the people drink and be merry. which is outside of the custom of what they did, because normally when the king drunk, it was only then that the people would lift up their cups and drink as the king would drink. But here he gave them no restrictions. They could drink as much or as little as they want, which means they could drink as much as they wanted to in the days that he was having this feast, and they could get as drunk as they wanted and do anything that they wanted, and the atmosphere was just open to whatever they wanted. And that is very, very dangerous when we have an atmosphere that is so loose that we cannot, that there's nothing that we can stop or control, that we just allow anything. We have to be very, very careful in the atmospheres that we allow, even in our everyday life, to come. There are certain things that we understand, that we know, that the environment of our job, there's certain things that we can't control with other people, but yes, we can command the atmosphere of where we at to be an atmosphere of peace, and that the blood of Jesus will be there, and that nothing will transfer in to cause us to lose our place of peace or to attack us or to come against us. That we can command our atmosphere of peace to be that which is righteous and holy. So we see that they're doing all of these things. The king now wants to bring Queen Vashti out, and she has her own party banquet going on for the women, and yet he wants her to bring her out when he's married, when he's intoxicated, and the men around him are all in that same state. He wants to bring her out and display her in her crown. She refuses him. But the refusal of what she did was something that didn't start just then. It was something that started long before then. She started basically despising him in her heart long before this incident. She despised the things about him because he was a vain, prideful man. And you can see that this didn't start then, because open rebellion does not start at that moment. That rebellion started with the rolling of the eyes, the conversation of the heart, the mumbling under the breath. It started with all those things, and then it came and exposed itself openly so everyone can see what was already in your heart, what was already manifesting. So we see this. The king is advised to have a beauty pageant because this open rebellion is basically something that his leaders have told him, we can't have this. The women are going to follow her, and they're going to despise her husband. So Esther is set up on that premises. She's set up for a blessing on the rebellion of Vashti, pride of the king. So God gets her ready. And you have to understand, Esther herself is out of her own element. She basically is in a foreign land. She's part of the exiles that were there, but she was not she was part of the generations of exiles that were there. She was not the first. She's there because of someone else's rebellion. She's there because of someone else's disobedience, because they rebelled against God. They were taken into exile. They were captured. So it was not at her own hand. She's there because of someone else's rebellion, disobedience against God. And she gets to this place where she's in a foreign land. She's not around her normal people. And we don't see a lot of family. The Bible does not tell us about a lot of family around her. The only family she has is Mordecai, who is her cousin. Her parents die. And we don't know what time they died or where they died. We just know that they did. And because she's a young version, she's a young girl, it had to be very, very soon, or at an age that was very, very primitive in her life, because there's not there to shape her. Mordecai, her cousin, takes her in and treats her as if she's his own daughter. But yet she has all of these things going on, not having her parents there, being in a foreign land, not having traditions of what she's known to be what is her custom. She has all of these things going on, but yet she didn't allow the place that was uncomfortable to shape her heart and make her become bitter about what she's going through. Have to be very careful when we're going through situations, that we don't allow those things to transfer us and make us bitter. We have to be tender before the Lord. Esther basically hurt. Esther is a Persian name, and that means star. That is her Persian name. Her Hebrew name is something that she herself did not operate in. She did not allow. She stayed with her Persian name. Her Hebrew name is Hadashah, and it means myrtle. She's operating in the Persian name, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They operated in their Persian name, not in the name that was given to them, their Hebrew name. And it's as what Paul says. Paul says, when I'm with, whether I find myself, I know how to act, I know how to behave, I know how to act when I'm in Rome, I know how to act if I'm in Jerusalem, I know how to act, I know what to do. So she knew what she was doing, because at that time, she did not know what God was going to do with her, but it was obvious that she understood that something had to happen in her life, that she was called. Even though the name of God is not mentioned in this chapter, in this book, we know that God's presence is there, that he's behind the scenes working. So it doesn't matter where you're going through or what you're in or where you're at, even if you can't hear God, his presence is there with you. He's going to do something mighty in your life. So we see that as they begin to get the versions together, favor is on Esther. The favor that is on her is known and described in the Hebrew language and in the Hebrew customs as that, as the character of God. So we see in the character of God on her, but it's also translated into loyal love. So we see here that Esther has the character of God and a loyal love, a loyal love for her, for God, for his will, his purpose, his people. And we understand that favor is on her. And she's placed in the king's harem. And we see that even in the harem that she's placed in, she has favor on her. The favor that she has with the eunuch is that she receives the choice food, the best food. She's given this choice food and liberal portion. She has seven personal attendants. Seven is the number of completion. God was completing something and establishing something in her that she didn't know. She also is able to stay in the most desirable place in the court of the harem. And so we see that God is, even in that, making her feel or making her be or making her understand a position of authority or favor, because when she becomes queen, she has that position. So for the 12 months that she's there, God is getting her ready for where she's getting ready to go, that preparation process. He's getting her ready. She had 6 months out of that 12 where she was going to be prepared with oils, and then the other 6 months she was going to be prepared with perfumes, so that she would be ready for whenever she went in with the king. God is preparing you with the oil and with the perfumes of what you need in your life. And tomorrow we're going to go over the oils, we're going to go over the perfumes, we're going to go over these things so that we will understand what each one of them meant and what each one of them represent, so that we understand when God is purging us, even if it's with hyssop, we understand that that hyssop is to clean us. It could be from thoughts, it could be from attitudes and gratitudes, but all of it serves a purpose. So the preparation that Esther was going through was making her look more in a character that looked and represented God, and a loyal love represent who he was and what he expected of her. But also that loyalty was going to be to her people, to what God had already put her in. Esther is in this place where she does not reveal who she is. She does not reveal. And in that, the Lord spoke to me, and he said she did not look or have the look as other Jewish women. There was something different about her. And what the Lord spoke to me and said, that there is a look that his people are to have that looks different than the world, that looks different than their circumstance. You're not supposed to look like what you've been through, but you're not supposed to look like the world either. There's a uniqueness about you that should be the favor of God, the character of God, the loyal love of God on your life, that when you show up, people don't know what it is about you, but they know that something is different about you. The moment that the eunuch, the moment that the leader saw her, even the king, favor was on it, because the look that she had, the look that she possessed was not hers. It was the character of God and the loyal love of God that was demonstrated to God and his people. And that's what we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to represent him well. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for this 15-minute of empowerment. I pray that you've been encouraged and blessed and that you know that the place that you're in is the place that's unlikely, but it's the place that God can bless you in. Be encouraged in your walk of faith. Be encouraged in where you are and let God keep you tender and don't allow the situation to move you to a place where you build up walls and become hard. You want to be tender so you can get that favor on your life because he's opening up a door. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and we'll be back tomorrow for 15 more minutes of empowerment.